The Holy Spirit preempted us, so we're a little bit late, but I'll do my best to get you out of here by 2 or 3 o'clock. Amen? All right, I preached last week's sermon title was, Do You Know Him? And we focused on signs that someone does not know Him. And this morning we're going to talk about signs that you do know Him. How many are familiar with a litmus test? Yes, in a litmus test you use a piece of paper to test to see if something is acidic or not. If something is acidic, it will turn blue litmus paper red. So you dip it in there, and if it turns red, it's acidic. No interpretation needed, no further tests needed. It is what it is. Amen? The results are conclusive. This morning we're going to look at some things in the Bible that we could call litmus tests to answer the question, do you know Him? We always want to look at what the Bible says, amen, about anything. So we want to look at this. And, you know, I had mentioned last week, you know, interrogating young men who show interest in my daughters, they have to go through me first. And one of the first things I ask them is, do you know Him? Do you know the Lord? What do you think the answer is? What do you think the answer is? Young man wants to date my daughter, and I'm interviewing him, interrogating him, and I ask him the question, do you know the Lord? What is he going to say 100% of the time?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Is that what can we just go by that? Is that enough?
No.
No, they're just telling me what I want to hear. Lois, did you have your hands up? But it's not enough, is it? They're going to tell me what I want to hear. We cannot just go off of what someone says. A lot of people say that they are Christians, but they really do not know the Lord. They really do not know Him. Now, I can think of one man in particular who is famous. Everyone in the world has heard of him. He claims to be a Christian, but there's nothing in his life, his decisions, or his actions that back up that claim. You may remember last week we looked at Matthew 25, and the people were standing before Jesus at the judgment. And what were they saying? Oh, Lord, Lord, haven't I done this in Your name? Haven't I done that in Your name? Haven't I prophesied in Your name? Haven't I done this? Haven't I done that? Haven't I done it? And what's the Lord say? He replies, I never knew you. So you can't go by what people say or even what they do, at least when it comes to works. And this week, it's not about looking at someone else. It's about looking at ourselves. It's about the litmus test. So we're going to test ourselves to discover the answer to the question. And the question, of course, is, do you know Him? Now, this is not meant to doubt anyone. In fact, I hope it's an encouragement to you. When we take tests, what happens? If we pass, we're very encouraged, aren't we? We're very happy with that. But hopefully we take the test this morning. Hopefully we could say, thank you, Lord. I am what you want me to be. I know you. I know you. And if you find this morning that you're not encouraged, well, that can be a good thing too, can't it? Because then we find out that there's something wrong that needs to be taken care of. Amen? So let's get to the test. Number one test, someone who knows Him knows His voice. John 10:1-3a says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He, Jesus, is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Everybody say, bah. Verse 3 tells us that the sheep hear His voice. Think about that. Why? Because the sheep know Him. The sheep know their shepherd. They know His voice. His voice is not strange to them. It's a normal thing for them to hear His voice. It is a comforting voice. It is a loving voice. Have you ever heard His voice? Have you ever heard His voice? I don't mean audibly. I mean that still, small voice. How many have heard it? How many know it? Amen. That still small voice that you know is the Lord. That sweet communication when the Lord speaks you or lays something on your heart. When the Holy Spirit teaches you or the Holy Spirit guides you, you hear His voice and you recognize it. What about when the Lord gives you peace and encouragement? Have you experienced that? His sheep know the voice of the shepherd. It's not unusual. We don't jump up and go, "Whoa, what was that?" We know it was Him. And we've experienced that because the sheep know His voice. Praise God. What a wonderful experience. I'm so glad to know it. Hallelujah. And this is because the world doesn't know it. In John 1:10 it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him." They don't know Him because they're not familiar with His voice. He is not their shepherd, and they are not His sheep. They do not know Him. And you know what? The world doesn't know you either, if you know Him. And what I mean by that is this. Your relationship with the Lord is strange to them. How many know it? It's strange to them. You may as well tell me, have you ever gone up to someone and said something like, "The Lord told me," and they're like, "Okay, really? Okay." They look at you like you're crazy. Why? Because they don't know Him, and they don't know you because they don't know Him. They are not His sheep. They don't know Him. They just, you may as well tell them that you're talking to aliens. Right? You may as well tell someone, "I was in my bed last night and a Martian landed in my bedroom." Because that's how they look at you. They're like, "Are you crazy? What do you mean God spoke to you? What do you mean God? You heard from God?" They don't understand. They cannot understand. Because they don't know Him, but you know Him. Amen? You know Him. It's not strange to you at all. You hear from the Lord. You communicate with the Lord. You know Him. Praise the Lord. You know His voice. You know your shepherd. How many know He only has good for you? So because we are the sheep of the great shepherd, we know His voice and we know He only has good for us. So what do? We follow Him. We go where He goes. Because we know He's not going to lead us into a pack of wolves. We know He's not going to lead us over the edge of a cliff. So we know His voice, and we know that we can trust Him. How many have ever been told to do something, you know, from the Lord, and it didn't sound like anything you would want to do? Nobody? What did you do? You do it anyway, because you say, "That's the shepherd, I know His voice, and I know He only has good for me. He only has good for me. He's not going to lead me astray. Because He's our shepherd." He's a good shepherd, isn't He? And in the beginning of the Scripture, it says the one who comes in is like a thief and a robber. That's not talking about people trying to get into the way outside of Jesus. That's talking about other shepherds that want to take away the sheep. But He says the sheep know His voice and they follow. They won't follow a stranger. In fact, even today in Palestine, shepherds, they know their sheep and their sheep know them. They know their voice and they will follow that shepherd. It's just amazing, and what a wonderful picture it is for us. Amen? Amen? But the thief and the robber are those who would try to take the sheep, to deceive them into following them instead of Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know His voice? There it is. There's our litmus test. Do you know His voice? Do you know what it's like to hear, hallelujah, that still small voice of the Lord leading you, guiding you, comforting you? How many know it? Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when the Lord speaks to us? And I love this. Let's look at the rest of verse 3. So not only do we know His voice, but He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. That's glorious. He calls them by name. How wonderful is that? The Good Shepherd, our Lord, Jesus, knows every one of his sheep by name. Amen. He knows your name, Brother Ken.
Amen.
He knows your name. Garney, he knows your name. Naomi, he knows your name. Jeff, he knows your name. Pearl, he knows your name. He even knows how many hairs we have on our head. The Creator of the universe. The One who spoke and everything came into existence. The great and powerful Almighty God knows your name. Hallelujah. Do you know that He knows you and He loves you as an individual? He spoke, the message said it this morning, didn't it? Hallelujah. He said, I know you. Praise God. I'm so glad He knows me. Amen. Anyone else? But He loves you as an individual. When the words in our Scripture says His own, it means just that. You are His. Praise God, somebody. Praise. You're His. Not just one of the flock. Think about how many millions of believers there are. But yet He knows your name. That's amazing. It's amazing. What a great, wonderful Lord that we have. And do you know how much He loves you? He loves you so much as an individual that He calls you by name. And I love this. Revelation 2:17 tells us that He is going to give you a new name written on a white stone that no one will know but you. Wow. And does that excite anybody else? To know that He loves me so much that He's going to give me a new name. And nobody's allowed to know it but me. That's a personal relationship, isn't it? That is knowing your shepherd. I wonder what it's going to be. I bet it's going to be really good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there it is. You know, that's special. But that's the first litmus test. Do you know Him? Do you know His voice? Amen. That one was kind of easy. You know, we go, oh yes. Right? We can all say that. Next one's a little harder. Number two, those who know Him have love for one another.
Amen.
And that was in our message too, where He said, be loving and be kind. But you know them. It shows that the test is if you love one another, then you know Him. 1 John 4:7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So there it is. There's the litmus test. What do we say about that? You dip it in. It is what it is. Do you love others? Loving one another is evidence that we are born of God and that we know Him. Remember, we're asking the question this morning, do you know Him? Now let's go back again to the litmus test. It's a simple one-step test. You put the substance on there. If it's acidic, goes from blue to red. The dictionary definition says it is a decisively indicative test. You take the test, it indicates something. Yes or no is what it is. The results are clear. Amen? It's straightforward. So it says, if we love one another, that's evidence that we are born of God. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's straightforward. Again, let's look at verse 8 as a litmus test. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. No interpretation needed there. Amen? We don't have to look at the commentary there. We don't have to consult anyone on that one. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the Bible clearly gives us a litmus test to see if we know God. We either do or we don't. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know God. Do you know Him? Do you know Him this morning? Based on that test? Did you give yourself that test with the Scripture? Did you pass? What if we actually had some sort of device that we could use to test us? Okay? We're going to have... We got this thing here. And we're going to use this. We're going to test. And it's going to tell us if we love and therefore know God. Wouldn't that be something? How many would be nervous about the results? How many would be nervous about being hooked up to something that looks like this? But how many would be nervous about the results? You understand what I mean? If there really was a test like this, or like litmus, you know, stick this thing on your tongue for 5 minutes, and we'll pull it out and see what color it is, and that's going to tell, do you love God, do you love others? How many would be nervous about the results?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I do that. I was sharing with somebody. I do Bible college at home, and you know, I submit the test, and I take the finals, and then I get an email. And the email says, results. And so I open the email, but I'm kind of like, you know, scrolling through it real and praying. And then I get the results. And I'm glad when I get the results and they're good. Amen? But how many of us would be nervous if there was some kind of test that we could take that says, yes, you love God, you love others, you know Him. Wouldn't that be great? Guess what? We do have such a test. It doesn't come from some weird gizmo. It's not some chemically treated paper. We take the test simply by looking at our lives and comparing that with the Word of God. And if we're honest, we probably already know the results, don't we? Again, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. Back to verse 7, it says that if we love, it shows that we are born of God. That means His nature is love, and if we know God, we will take on that attribute of His, of love, and be a loving person. Jesus said in John 13, 35, that the world will know that you are a disciple by the bumper sticker on your car. No. Oh, sorry, different version. The world will know that you are a disciple if you've got a Jesus t-shirt or keychain. No. The world will know that you're a disciple because you attend church regularly and you tell them that you're a Christian. No. I don't like these new versions, do you? Let's go back to the New King James, because that's what Paul used. There, that the world will know that you're a disciple, Jesus said, by your love for one another. Amen. Is that how the world sees you? Is that what you are known for? Pat, you kind of touched on that in Sunday school this morning. That's how we should be known. Are you known as someone who unconditionally loves everyone? Is that what you're known for? Should be. Amen? Is that how other people see you? So let me ask you this morning. Are you spiritual? Are you full of the Holy Ghost and with power? Sometimes I think that's what we want to be known for. Am I right? Oh, I speak in tongues and, you know, I interpret and I have the gift of healing and I do this and I do that. Those are good things. They're gifts of God. But is that what we want to be known for? Is that what we want to be known for? Or do we want to be known as, that is a loving person. That lady, that guy loves everybody. I've never seen anything like it. And that should be the testimony of what the world thinks of Christians. It's not so though, is it? If we love, it shows that we are born of God. It's His nature. Is that what we want to be known for? Or do we want to be known for, you know, our spiritual gifts and Holy Ghost power? And I go to this church, and at that church we shout and we dance and, you know, it's really good and we're awesome and all that. And do we want to be known for that? Or do we want to be known for love? Listen to, speaking of spiritual gifts, spiritual power. Again, these are gifts of God. They're great. I'm thankful for them. Well, we don't want to be known for that. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So you could give everything you own to the poor? You could do good deeds and not have love? Yeah, it's right there, isn't it? Maybe we want to be known for that. Oh, he gave me his coat when I was cold. Right? Or do we want to be known for love, for unconditional love? So clearly, without love, no matter what our spiritual gifts are, without love, we are what? Nothing. We're just making noise. A sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, these guys play the drums. This sounds great. Okay? But picture a 2-year-old with a pan and a spoon. How many have heard it? It's cute at first. Right? But that's what it says. We're just making noise. We can have all these spiritual gifts. We can think we're so holy. But if we don't have love, we're nothing. The love here is agape love. Agape loves, love means that it loves regardless of feelings. I don't have feelings, but I love that. You don't have to like me. And some of you probably don't. But you don't have to like me. But you know what? You have to love me. You have to love me. And what does that mean? Does that mean just saying it? No. Agape love loves regardless of feelings. Agape love loves a person even if in our eyes they don't deserve our love. Now we all battle with that. We all have people that have done horrible things to us. And in our eyes, they don't deserve it. And we punish people. I'm not going to talk to that person. It's not right, is it? We're to have love like God has. We're to love everyone, even if in our eyes we don't think they deserve it. And agape love actually loves a person who is utterly unworthy of being loved. Again, sometimes that's just in our eyes. Well, we could probably think of some people throughout history that were unworthy of love. But agape love, the kind of love that we're supposed to have, the kind of love that shows that we know God, looks past that. You know, it's interesting the way that's worded. Someone who is utterly you love a person who is utterly unworthy of being loved. I don't know about you, but that sounds like my relationship with Jesus. I am utterly unworthy that He loves me, but He loves me anyway. Anyone else? Amen. I don't deserve it, but He loves me anyway, and we are to do the same thing. Agape love is selfless, and it's a gift of God. It can only be experienced when a person knows God. That's why it's a litmus test. If you've got that, then you know God, because you couldn't have that on your own. Amen? Do you have agape love? Do you love unconditionally? Do you know Him? In fact, the Bible tells us that it's impossible for you to love God if you don't love others. Think about that. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, but he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It's impossible. You can't say you love God if you don't love others. It's impossible. You can say it. You can believe it. You can think it. But it's not so. And we are commanded to do so. Listen to this. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Do you have that kind of love? And again, it's not just saying it. Love is an action word. It's doing it. You know, when Jesus says, love your enemies, it doesn't mean sitting in a corner in your home going, okay, I love them, I love them, I love them. No. He says, love your enemies and what? Do good to those who deserve it. Do good to those who do good to you. No. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Let that sink in. Despitefully use you. And how many of us are offended at much less level than someone despitefully using us? Well, they didn't wave. They didn't call me. They didn't this. They didn't that. And we're off the deep end. But Jesus said, even those who despitefully use you, even those who hate you, do good to them. Not just love them, not just say you love them, but do good for them. What does that mean? It means doing something good for that person. And that's the kind of love that we are to have. We're commanded to do so. Again, this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And speaking of commandments, test number 3. Those who know Him keep His commandments. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. 1 John 2:3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know Him. That's what we're talking about this morning, right? Do you know Him? By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. It continues and says, he who says, I know him, right? I'm interviewing one of those young men who wants to date my daughters. Oh, I know him. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Do you know him? Do you know him this morning? How do we know? That's our other litmus test. It is what it is, amen? How do we know that we love Him? We keep His commandments. What are His commandments? Man, there's a lot of them in there. The Bible's full of them. Yeah, you go through Leviticus, it's going to take you a while. You're probably going to have to write them down, right? The Bible's got a lot of do's and a lot of don'ts, right? There's a lot of commandments. How in the world can we do it? Well, there's a lot of them, but they can all be condensed down to just 2. John 3:23, and this is His commandment. Now notice the two things He's putting together here. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus and love one another as He gave us commandment. Look at the two things. Look at the importance of loving one another. He puts it right up there with believing in Jesus. And that is His commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart. And what else? To love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on this hang all the law and the prophets. All the Old Testament, all the rules, all the laws hang on those two things. Because if you're loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself, that covers it all. You're not going to be doing anything else. You're not going to be lying. You're not going to be stealing. You're not going to be committing adultery. You're not going to be blaspheming. You're not going to be dishonoring God if we do just those two things. And that's what we're commanded to do. And there's that love thing again, right? I don't know about you, but he puts it right up there with believing in Jesus. How many think God's serious about that? So it kind of brings it all together. It kind of brings it all together. You know, point number 2 was the love thing. Now I'm talking about commandments, but what kind of commandment do we have? To love one another. Amen? It's interesting how all this ties together. And let's see if point number 1 ties together. Let's see if there's a connection there. John 14:21. He who has my commandments, who has his commandments? All of us, right? He who has his commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Okay, so if you don't keep the commandments, what can we infer from that? You don't love the Lord, right? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, listen, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's point number one, knowing his voice. When you know his voice, it's because he is manifesting himself to you. He is making himself known. Manifest means to show, to disclose, to reveal, to appear, to make known. And that's what happens when you know his voice, because you know him. Have you ever prayed that for someone who's unsaved? I pray that for people that are unsaved all the time. I remember praying that for my mother when she was dying of cancer. I remember saying, Lord, manifest yourself to her. In other words, make yourself known. I pray that Jesus would manifest himself to people, because then they would really know. They'd really experience him. And what happens when we experience him? It's life-changing, isn't it? How many know what I'm talking about? How many know Jesus?
Yes.
Not just a concept, not just a religious figure. You know him. Amen. And it changed your life. Amen?
Amen?
You know, people look at you like you're crazy. But you, how many know that you know that you know that you're in the way?
Yes.
The Bible says his spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're in the way. That we're in the truth. Because you know him. What a difference it makes. I used to go to church. And I'd get away from it. Why? I didn't know him. I believed in him. I knew what I should do, but I didn't know him. And when I came to the Lord and surrendered, he manifested himself to me. He made himself known. And I know him. And Louie, it's too late. Right, brother?
Right,
brother? Anybody going to talk you out of it? Anyone here that's going to talk you out of what you've experienced? How many know Jesus? And you know he's real. Amen. No one's going to talk you out of him. What a wonderful thing it is to experience him. How many know that he's changed you? Come on. How many know that he's real? It's not just a religion. It's not just, well, yeah, that's the way I'm going to go. I'm hoping I'm right. Right? Yeah, that seems to make the most sense. I did the research. I'm going with that. It's not just that, is it? How many know him and know a real, living relationship with him?
Amen.
And you know, because that spirit, hallelujah, witnesses with your spirit that you're in the way, that you're on the right track. People say, oh, but there are so many religions. How do you know you have the right one? Because I know him. Amen? Because I know him. I don't just know about him. I know him. He's real, and he loves me. And he's changed my life. How many know him? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet if you know him. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you this morning, if any of these points I've hit on, you're saying, I don't quite pass the test. You can. You just have to surrender to Jesus. Whatever that thing is, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Eric, I don't know the voice of God. I don't hear from him. Just lift up your hand. I don't know him. I don't know him the way I should know him. I don't know his voice. Are you here this morning and you could say, I'm not as loving as I should be? Probably every hand should be raised. Raise your hand. If you say, I'm not as loving as I should be. I want to love like he wants me to love so that I can know him. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, you know, I'm not keeping the commandments. I'm not following what he said. I'm claiming to know him, but I'm still doing anything I want to do. I'm still living in sin. If that's you, you need to repent of your sin and turn to him 100% and surrender that you may come to know him and you may be saved. I just want to encourage you. You know, there's no formulas in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that says, say these words and this will happen. But Jesus said, repent and believe. That means you repent, means you turn from your sins and you say, I'm not doing it anymore. I changed my mind about it. And you quit. You can't repent and go on and keep living the way you're living. You cannot continue in sin. Like I said, there's no formulas in the Bible. I'm not going to have you repeat after me, but just in your own words, pray that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I admit that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me. Wash away my sins. I turn from my sins and I will follow you the rest of my life.
Yes.
And you'll be saved.
Amen.
Repent and believe. And again, every one of us could say, we need to love more. How many will say it? Raise your hand. How many will say it?
Right.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word.
Yeah.
I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for your message. And we just want to love you, Lord. And I just pray that you would cause every one of us, Lord, to love like you would have us love. No matter what anyone does to us, Lord, that we return that with love as you would. That we love people the way you love people.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I'm glad you don't love me the way I love people. Forgive me, Father. Help me to do what is right and forget about myself, so that I can love others unconditionally. And Father, I just pray for every one of us here this morning, Lord, that you would cause us to hear your voice. Oh Lord, we heard your voice this morning. How sweet it was, Lord, for you to visit us this morning and give us a message and your power and your healing and your presence with us. And Lord, we want more of that. Why? So we can know you. So we can know you. And Father, again, I just encourage anyone here, Lord, if they don't know you, if they don't know 100% for certain that they're saved, Lord, part of your message this morning was that you're coming soon. I'd hate to think, Lord, the time could run out on someone. I pray that you would move on them and draw them with the Holy Spirit, that they would take care of business. And Lord, we ask all these things in your precious name,
yes,
in your lovely name, the name that is above all names.
Amen.
We worship you this morning, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.